Welcome to EMP this morning. Let's pray before we begin the message, the reading of the word. Father God, we just thank you that we can come here again to your presence this Saturday morning, God. It's such a privilege, Lord God, to just come into your house, Lord God. So, Lord, today I just want to lift up the message today into your hands, God, and the prayer time, God. Lord, I humble myself. Lord, work through me, Lord God, I pray. May you increase, Lord. I decrease, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The passage that I'd like to read today, I've got two scriptures just to start the message. The first one is Judges chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And then the second passage will be 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. But let's read Judges chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. Then we move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. And verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the message that I would like to speak about this morning is called a thorn in the flesh. And I actually got this message this week when I was just thinking through some events in my life and also meditating on how much God loves me. And I came to a realization that certain things that happen or certain things that are recurring in my life, they're irritating, they're difficult. And I'm not talking about my spouse here. But no, these things are irritating, they're difficult. They're like a thorn in the flesh and they probably won't go away. And you keep praying and praying and praying, and it still seems to be there. So I'm kind of like resigned to it. Through all these issues, maybe it is my thorn in the flesh that God is putting there for my benefit to let me know that his grace is more than sufficient for me and that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. So in this morning, I would just like to actually touch on two simple points on this thorn in the flesh, which are point one, the thorn is there to teach us war. And point two, the thorn is there to make us humble. So just moving on to point one, the thorn is there to teach us war. So we just read an interesting passage just now in Judges, where God before told Joshua to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. But then you read here in Judges, right? It also says that God left them there so that they might know war and to teach them war. See, the previous generation who were born in the desert and were under the leadership of Joshua fought and inherited the promised land, and they were very accustomed to war. They had to fight, fight, fight until they entered and inherited land. They went through the city of Jericho, the city of Ai. They conquered the 31 kings, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, all the other ites. And finally, they could actually inherit a large part of the land. But notice God says that he left some of the enemies there so that the children would know war too. You see, there is something about war that trains people to be vigilant. During the war, there is no resting, but you are always on your guard, because otherwise you will get killed. But yet we as children of God, we forget that sometimes that we are also in a spiritual war. We don't go looking for war, but rest assured that war will come looking for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the very famous passage on war. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I was reading an unfortunate account the other day of the Battle of Ye Drang in Vietnam, which basically started the escalation of American involvement in Vietnam. In that account, there was a battalion of American troops that were on a 4-kilometer march. And they were tired, and they let their guard down for a little moment to rest, to smoke, to regroup, and to take some new orders. But unfortunately, at that time, the Vietnamese army sprung an ambush right at the very time. And many people were killed in the subsequent firefight. See, the point of the battle is the enemy is always waiting to ambush, to pounce, and you cannot let your guard down for one moment. And you recall in the Bible when the time that David sinned with Bathsheba. When did that happen? It was at that time when the kings were meant to go out to war, but David chose to stay behind in Jerusalem. You can read that in 2 Samuel. I actually do feel for King David, because he was the finest and greatest king that Israel ever had. And he wrote so many beautiful psalms. He was a man after God's own heart. And so many had so many close encounters with God. But yet, when people talk about him, they inadvertently always talk about this sin with Bathsheba. It's like, you know, people always talking about your sin over and over again, over the centuries. Just keep repeating it. So I'm just thinking, King David, if you're listening to this right now in heaven, I hope you don't mind. We forget that people in the Bible are real, and one day you may meet them in heaven. And maybe they'll ask you, why do you say that about me? Okay, but the point here is that King David did not go to war when he was meant to, and he let his guard down and stayed behind. And that's set off a series of unfortunate events. You see, there is something about being comfortable that makes people soft. And God doesn't want us to just sit comfortable, but he wants to develop in us the ability to do war, to develop our vigilance, our robustness. And perhaps this can be achieved by having this thorn in the flesh where you need to fight, 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 and to remember not to just enjoy the good life. In Chinese, there is a saying, "富不过三代," which means family wealth does not last more than three generations. I think in English, there is this saying apparently called shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations. So I actually Googled it and saw an article in Time, which said that 70% of rich families lose their wealth by the second generation and 90% by the third. So it looks like this saying is actually backed up by some statistics, by some study. But what's the point here? See, the point here is that the first generation knows war, knows hardships, knows how to fight for their business, knows how to fight for their achievements and success. But by the time it comes to the second and the third generation, people become soft and comfortable and forget how hard it was to make the family wealth, how much sacrifice, hard work, sweat and tears that was poured in. And they take the fruit of the labors of the previous generation for granted. And maybe they just squander it away or just don't know how to cherish it or protect it. As I mentioned, war and fighting gives us a robustness. And when you are in this spiritual war, you also realize that you are weak and you need to call out for a savior. But sometimes our spiritual senses are a bit dull and a group of us are asleep. And we think that we are God's secret agents, you know, unknown and hiding in the shadows. And sometimes God needs to send something to wake us up of our slumber. And that can be achieved by sending this thorn in the flesh to irritate us or to just make us know that we are weak. Personally, it's also uncanny that I feel so much warfare every time I preach a message, especially if I know that the message is specially from God. And for me, I'm actually still learning how to fight as well. But the good news, though, is that even though God calls us to war, it's actually a lopsided war because we know who has already won. Jesus has already won. And the result is very one-sided. So it's actually not to actually win, but it's actually for our spiritual development and for us to achieve many crowns in heavens, like the many medals and decorations that you can get in the normal war here on earth if you do well. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "He who overcomes gets a reward, and you get to eat from the tree of life." So that was my point number one. The thorn in the flesh is to make us know war. Second point, the thorn is to make us humble or to keep us humble. We just read the passage in 2 Corinthians just now. And here the context was Paul first speaking about, or he was speaking about his tremendous revelations and visions that he was getting from God. And he was actually seeing and hearing top secret things that God had told him. But God said that you are not even permitted to speak about them here on earth. And perhaps there was a tendency for Paul to become proud. I think it must be really easy to become proud, especially if you had such a successful ministry and you're getting these top secret revelations from God. Think about it in present day terms. You get these visions, prophecies that are just so accurate. And people come and flock to you and your ministry grows. And people say, wow, you must be so spiritual. You're walking so close to God. But God is gracious. And to prevent that pride from happening, God says he's sending a thorn in the flesh for Paul. Now, we don't know exactly what it is, and I won't speculate what it is. But suffice to say, it probably was very annoying. Well, he asked God to remove it 3 times. But God just replies, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, and my grace is sufficient for you. See, God doesn't share his glory with man, and doesn't want us to become proud, because then he will oppose you. So by God's great grace, he wants to keep Paul. He also wants to keep us humble, and therefore sends this thorn to remind us. You see, as I mentioned, there is something about a thorn that keeps us humble. It's through this thorn we will remember our weakness and cry out to God for help. In ancient Roman times, there was this thing called the triumph that was held for a very victorious general when he returned to Rome. And it was where the whole city would come out and line the streets, and the general would parade through the city with all his spoils and his victorious army just following around. And you imagine the adulation, the adoration, and the praise that he'll be getting from the crowd as he walked through the streets of Rome. But notice what the emperor or the senate does. As part of the ceremony, there is a slave that is positioned behind the general who cries out as the procession goes through the city. He cries out to the general. He says, memento mori, memento mori, which means remember that you are a man and you have to die. See, is the slave a party pooper? Or is he like the thorn that has to remind the general that he too is flesh and he is weak, and not to get too proud? And I think similarly, this is like it from God. A thorn is a grace from God to remember that we are but flesh. We are weak. And do not get too proud. But I tell you, it's easy to forget God when life is going well and when you have so much abundance. And there is something about the human heart that makes us so prone to wonder, especially when things are good. In Proverbs, it talks about a radical middle between poverty and riches. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 to verse 9, it says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my Lord. So you think about King Solomon. He started off well at the beginning, asked God for wisdom, was called Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. But then after, when he prospered, he had a lot of abundance, just something went wrong along the way. Or remember the story of Israel during the Judges. They do well, then they forget God, they turn to idolatry, then God sends other nations to punish them, then they cry out to God, and God raises up a judge to deliver them, they enjoy peace, and then the cycle repeats, they deteriorate into sin and idolatry again, and then get afflicted by God, and then they turn back to God again. For me personally, I've shared this before, that when life is good, I get complacent. Last year, I shared that I was going through some financial difficulties. And then during that time, I was praying and relying on God more. But this year, praise God that he has delivered me into some abundance. But I found that after my, I guess, hard episode, or difficult episode was gone, I prayed less and I became more complacent. But I think now God is sending things to actually wake me up, and sending this thorn in my flesh to remind me not to be proud and not to become complacent. So for me now, I think that I want to learn to boast in my weakness. And to be honest, I actually do struggle to prepare messages every time as well. I really don't think it comes that naturally to me. And I really do wonder how people can preach for like 1 hour, 1.5 hours on end. Still don't know how to do that. Or even just looking at ministry, I wonder, what can I do? What can I offer? I really don't know. And who am I? Am I that holy, that spiritual? Am I that special? But I'm learning to ask God now that, and to realize that it's not about me. I am weak and I am broken. But Lord, God, you have a message for someone. You want to speak to someone. You want to minister to someone. So what do you have to say? Work through me and take control. I'm just the vessel. So I guess I'm still learning, trying to keep things simple. And as I mentioned before, at the beginning, this thorn in the flesh, I'm slowly identifying what it is, and I'm slowly coming to grips with it, and realizing that maybe it's going to be there in my life for a long time, and I just need to keep fighting, keep praying. But I thank God that He loves me so much, and is interested in my spiritual development. See, I don't like the prosperity gospel, because it emphasizes the point that God just wants to bless your material needs here on earth, and let you live your best life now. I have a caveat to that, of course, that poverty is a curse and we shouldn't desire poverty. And I believe that 100% that God will supply all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, and that God is our provider. But there is more to life than these material things. And if success was only judged upon what we have materially, we have missed the point. Or else you can go ask Paul about his thorn in the flesh, or ask the early church why they were persecuted, why were the Christians stoned, sawn in two, why were they going hungry, cold, beaten, having their possessions plundered? In material terms, they were not very successful. But yet, I think God was very pleased with their sacrifice. But in summary for point two, I think that God gives us thorns in our flesh to remember our mortality, and for us not to get proud, and to remember that we need Him, and it is in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. So as I'm going to bring this to an end, so when I was preparing and thinking about King David and about his sin that was being preached, and this sin that was, you know, mentioned and repeated over the last centuries, I felt Holy Spirit say that maybe King David does not mind, because it is through his sin and weakness that God's grace was most abundantly manifest. And it was through his weakness and then his repentance that God was most glorified. It is like Paul who says, I will boast in my weakness instead of my strength. So in conclusion, let us just pray that we will take up this mantle to fight. Do not be afraid, because God's strength is perfected in our weakness. And remember that God has already won. And for those who are fighting some issues, maybe you keep on praying, keep praying, but it keeps recurring and it's just something in your life that you seem that you have no victory over. Maybe that is your thorn in your flesh. It won't go away. But take up the mantle and continue to fight. Remember that God says that His grace is sufficient and His strength is made perfect in your weakness. As long as we trust God, yield to God, and remember God, His grace, His strength is more than sufficient. So just take a few moments to respond. Let's just turn our attention to the Saturday prayer list. Let's pray for those in our community that are battling cancer and for those that are undergoing cancer treatment and recovery. Just pray for God's healing to just come upon everyone whose name up there. Let's pray for members of our community who know people that are ill, but more importantly, they need salvation. Just pray for God's mercy to just come to encompass them, that they may know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for members of our community that are sick. Just pray for God's healing again to just come into their lives. Let's pray for members of our community who are looking for jobs at the moment. Just pray for God to open the doors at the right time and to let these people know that God is our provider. Our attention to the Saturday focus. Let us pray for the Korean Peninsula, especially North Korea, that there will be open doors for ministry. Let's pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. And let's also pray for the persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East, in Egypt, in Syria, in Iraq, and the greater part of the Middle East. Let's just lift up these prayer items. Pray for the various SP weekend gatherings that are happening over this weekend. Just pray that Holy Spirit would just lead all these meetings, these ministries, and that Jesus would just be glorified in these meetings. Let's pray for SP 2.0, for our new building and the resources to move into this new building. Let's also pray for the benefactor that he would just come forth at the right time and be generous at the right time. And also pray for the church that we'll be ready to move on to the new things that God will have for us at the right time. Let's pray. And let's pray now for the house churches that are meeting, for Fortress, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, Westside. Just pray for the leaders and for the members there, that they'll have a good time of fellowship and be led by Holy Spirit. And more importantly, again, that Jesus be the center of all these meetings that are happening. Let us pray. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, that we can just come here this morning, God, come into your presence, Lord, hear your word, Lord God, and to pray, Lord God. So just help us, Lord, just to remember, Lord God, that sometimes, Lord, you send our thorns in the flesh, Lord, our way, Lord, to remind us to be humble, God, so that we will not be proud. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Just pray, Lord, may our prayers, Lord, just rise up to you, Lord, as incense to your throne. May you hear them, Lord God, I pray, and answer, Lord God, in your time, Lord, in your perfect timing. So we thank you, Lord, for what you have done, Lord, for us and how you love us so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your personal devotion time.